Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Gentlemen, it's our delight to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion about the issue today. We'll be talking about a question. Have we lost our moral compass as a nation? Have we lost our moral, ethical compass? Are we going in the right direction? What has happened? What caused us to get off course? What should we do? How should we then live? Those are the issues we'll talk about today. We invite your dialogue and discussion. The telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. You see, denominational dogma, political ideological bent, sometimes societal philosophy is not the answer. Our only answer to resolve the issues today, our only answer to resolve the issues of any era, to answer the questions of life, is found in the written, revealed Word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus, as he speaks to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, makes a profound statement. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." There are a lot of people today, ladies and gentlemen, even secularist, lost people will say, well, you know, the truth will set you free. And that is a partial statement. It is not a correct statement in and of itself. If we continue in his word, that's the word of God, then we're his disciples, i.e. followers, servants, indeed. That word indeed means truly, literally, and it's then that we shall know the truth, and the truth that's then will set us free as a result of staying in the Word of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is the truth book. Jesus himself said in John 14, 6, I am truth. Further, he makes a declaratory statement. John 17, 17, the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. Psalms 117, verse 2, reminds us that the truth of the Lord endures forever. We ought to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that truth is something that is not sought after today. Truth is something that is not adhered to. Truth is literally that which is not even known in the Beltway in Washington, D.C., in my most humble opinion. Truth is rejected. It was the secularist George Orwell that made the statement in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. He said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what we see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen. It is a deficit, a drought of truth. It is something that is not sought after. Most do not want to hear it. You'll not find it on the secular news broadcast. It's the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made such a powerful statement. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I challenge you each and every day, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be able to know the truth, seek it, listen to it, love it, learn it, live it, and defend it even to death. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in the last of the last days based on my understanding of the scripture. I believe that in these last days, it's going to take Christians with a spine, with a backbone, to stand up and honor God and stand for truth. You may have to stand alone. You may have to stand without others agreeing. But if we're standing for truth, ladies and gentlemen, I believe God will honor it. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located right here in the heart of Mandarin at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a benchmark that can identify the location of Tools for Time. 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It is a family-friendly environment that you are working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing its entire Tools for Time family to be off, that you might be able to worship in the house of God with the children of God as God's word ordained it for the Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Just drop by Tools for Time. Make your application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does as far as placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say just a couple of words, and then we'll take our first caller. But I want us to understand, get the setting and the basic foundation of where we're going in our broadcast today. America was founded, ladies and gentlemen, as a Christian nation with the Judeo-Christian values as the basic foundation stone for our nation. Originally, ladies and gentlemen, citizens of America would welcome morals, ethics, values, biblical teachings in our public schools, in our homes, in the governmental agencies. It was welcomed. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, it hadn't been too many years back. If you're less than 100 years old, you still recall it. Hadn't been too many years back that it was not an unusual thing to have governmental meetings to start out with a pastor leading in an opening prayer or closing with a prayer. They would pray in that day, in that era, in Jesus' name, without fear and without faltering and without wondering if they'd be persecuted or prosecuted for doing so. Prayer was not only welcomed, it was invited, ladies and gentlemen, in our public arena, in all meetings, in our public schools today. The Bible is not taught, but back in yesteryear, ladies and gentlemen, in our public school system, when we had morals and ethics and values in America, our public school system, the teachers would have Bible reading every morning in the classroom. The students could memorize verses and quote them before the class. There would be prayer in the classroom, praying for others and praying for self, praying for the teacher, or the teacher praying for the students. The flag was honored and the pledge to the flag was given in our public school classrooms. But ladies and gentlemen, that is a far cry from that today. The mindset is today that you can't pray in a public school because it's federal property, and if you pray on federal property, you've broken somehow a law. I'm looking at an article that says Supreme Court rules in favor of a high school football coach fired for post-game prayers. This article is dated June 27, 2022. U.S. Supreme Court just ruled 6-3 on June 27th that a school district in Washington State violated the First Amendment religious freedom protections when it fired a high school football coach, Joseph Kennedy, for leading personal prayers at the 50-yard line after a game. The decision is regarded as a victory for religious freedom. The court found that the U.S. Constitution, hear me, that the U.S. Constitution neither requires nor allows governments to suppress such religious expression. Coach Joe Kennedy, who no longer works for the tax-funded school district in Washington State, claims his rights were violated when the district forbade him from praying in view of the public after the games. The school district argued that when Kennedy prayed in midfield after the games, he was viewed by the onlookers as a coach who was serving as a mentor and role model. But the majority of the Supreme Court justices disagreed with the school district in Kennedy versus Birmingham School District Court File 21-418, an appeal from the frequently overturned U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth District. Justice Neil Gorsuch wrote the majority opinion for the court. All six conservative justices, including Gorsuch, ruled in Kennedy's favor. This article further states Gorsuch noted that Kennedy lost his job as a high school football coach in the school district because he knelt at midfield after game to offer a quiet prayer of thanks during a period when school employees were free to speak with friends, free to call for reservations at a restaurant, free to check their email, or attend any other personal matters, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a modicum of victory in America. But the coach went through about 5 years of persecution and prosecution simply because of exercising his constitutional liberties of the freedom of religion, of bowing and praying without shame and without fear before God and before the crowd. But ladies and gentlemen, today in America, that is not apropos. Today in America, that is viewed as being obstinate. That's viewed as being in opposition to what the loose, lax, lost liberals on the left feel that you cannot do. Christians and conservatives and patriots today are prosecuted and persecuted more than in the past 60 years in America. We go back to the first century church when Christians were persecuted and prosecuted and chased down and put to death. We're almost at that level today in America. We have lost our moral compass. Our biblical, ethical value system seems to have just absolutely evaporated, dissipated, totally gone in our system today, not just in our schools, but in the public arena, not just in our schools and the public arena, but in all of society, in every phase and facet of government today. It is being removed. Everything is being removed that stands for good and godliness and for the Christian. Christians today are viewed as second-class citizens. And I don't know about you, but I'm a little weary with it. I'm a little bothered with it. I'm not a second-class citizen. If you're saved, you're not a second-class citizen, but it's viewed that way by the Department of Justice with Merrick Garland, the Attorney General. We're viewed that way by the FBI. We're viewed that way by the Biden administration and all of the scabs left over from the Obama administration that now rules Joe Biden. Joe Biden doesn't have a cognitive ability to make a decision. We're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, have we lost our moral compass? Perhaps you've got some interest in saying something about that. Perhaps you'd like to add your 2 cents worth. What are your thoughts? What are the evidences that we've lost our moral compass, or do you believe that we have not? Do you believe that we're on the right track or the wrong track? Love to hear from you. 831-0917. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I'm going to tell you, you are right on point, okay? You're on point. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I beg your pardon?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, let me. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Look here. You are dead on point. You are. And this administration, really, all of them need to go to jail. I'll be honest about that. And I definitely don't want Kamala Harris. And I call her the Wicked Witch of the East, West, North, and South to get into the White House. No, no, no. We will really be in trouble. Yeah, because Kamala Harris, she don't really, should I say it like, she does not go with the issue.
Well, let's put it this way, Kenneth. Kamala Harris hadn't got it together. Joe Biden is cognitively depleted based on age and physical health. I'm not blaming that on him. I'm blaming his continuing in the Oval Office on those that are pulling the strings. He's the puppet. The puppeteers are Barack Hussein Obama and George Soros and others. And the little shell that is called Joe Biden is the one that is front for it. Kamala Harris wouldn't know how to do anything if she didn't have a little laughter attached with it. Her speechwriter just resigned on her over the weekend, so I don't know what she's going to do. I don't think she's capable of writing her own speeches, but you're exactly right. This particular administration and cabal that's in the White House has brought America to the lowest level, morally and ethically, spiritually, biblically, that I have seen in my lifetime. And so you're exactly right. We need to remove them. They need to be removed. I'm praying that when the Republicans take over by a landslide in November election, I'm praying that we'll see some major moving and shaking in the coming year that will show indications that we have some Republicans with a spine. I blame it not just on the Democrats. We've got some rhinos in Washington. We got rhinos in Tallahassee and downtown here in Jacksonville that claim to be conservative Republicans that will just simply vote or do whatever's convenient for them that satisfies the lobbyists that's in their pockets. And so I'm concerned about the future because we're watching the plummeting of the morals, ethics, and the values in our nation, lest we turn that around. Lest we seek God and ask God for forgiveness as a nation, I believe God's judgment is going to continue to progressively enfold us and absolutely remove America from the face of the globe. So I'm concerned about it, and I know you are, Kenneth. So you're exactly right. But let's keep praying, keep looking up. Our redemption's drawing nigh. I believe that there's coming a day very, very soon that the church will be snatched out of here, raptured out of this old world, and the Antichrist step on the scene. And we're seeing through this administration and administrations around the world, we're watching the stage being set for the Antichrist, the lawless one, to step on the scene and rule with an iron fist. And then what we're seeing today as persecution and prosecution of Christians will look like child's play in retrospect. But the Christian will not be here because based on the Word of God, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. So we have reason as Christians to rejoice in the realization and the recognition, though it is dark, it is gloriously dark, as Dr. Adrian Rogers said many, many years ago. So, Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today. We have lost our moral compass, or have we lost our moral compass? What are your thoughts? Do you believe that we're on track in the right direction for morals and ethics and values, or do you believe that there's a problem with the morals, ethics, and values in our nation? I believe that we are morally declining each and every day. And it's being promulgated and pushed by legislation and laws being passed both in states across America and out of the White House and out of the legislative session led by Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, when we find Roe versus Wade that's already been overturned, there are states across America that are making abortion their claim to fame. The state of New York, the state of California, state of Colorado, all of them are saying we want to be the abortion capital of the nation and inviting people across America to flow to their states. Invitation to come to California because they have abortion laws that are open. Invitation to move to New York. Can you imagine a person making a move across the nation to a state like California, Colorado, or New York because, gee whiz, we can go there and get a child in the womb murdered. And that's the good reason to move. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the decline in the United States of America, morals and ethics and values. Back in the olden days, as my boys used to call it, back in the olden days, as some will look at it, the public schools would allow Bible reading. The teacher would read the scripture. The students would memorize scripture, quote the scripture verses. But over the course of time, something very, very evil, ladies and gentlemen, has happened to our great nation. We've been warned. We've been challenged. We've been charged with trying to legalize morals and values in our nation. We've been, as Christians and conservatives, we've been reduced to a joke in that they are telling us on the left that you're just trying to enforce morals. You're trying to legislate morals. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody's morals are going to be had in our nation. If it's not a Christian moral, ethical value system, it's going to be the secularist, socialist, Marxist, communist value system, which places no value on the human life, and the morals, ethics, and values that we find in the Scripture will be passed. In fact, the Scripture is very clear And Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? It is very clear, ladies and gentlemen, in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, the scripture reads this way: righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It's a sad, sad scenario when we place our trust and confidence in the government, and government is not God, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, in Psalms 146 and verse 3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. Ladies and gentlemen, our help comes from God. Yet we've turned our backs on God as a nation. In fact, I'm looking at an article that is a promo for a book, but the article is titled Battle for the American Mind. Behind a smokescreen of preparing students for the new industrial economy, early progressives had political control in mind. America's original schools didn't just make kids memorize facts or learn skills. They taught them how to think freely and arrive at wisdom. They assigned the classics, inspired love of God, love of country, and raised future citizens that changed the world forever. Further, this article states, today, after 16,000 hours of kindergarten through 12th grade of indoctrination, our kids come out of the governmentally controlled schools hating America. They roll their eyes at anything that's called religion. They disdain our history. We spend our money on education more today than ever. But kids are barely able to read or write, let alone reason with discernment. Western culture is on the ropes. Kids are bored and aimless, failing for purpose in a system that says racial and gender identity is everything. Ladies and gentlemen, that summarizes what we find happening in our public school system. As a result of that today, ladies and gentlemen, we're growing up sons and daughters, grandkids, as the parents and grandparents put them in the publicly controlled, governmentally controlled public schools. We find that they come out of the schools as having been brainwashed, rejecting anything that's called a central biblicist worldview, rejecting anything that you and I would call morals and ethics and values. And ladies and gentlemen, we're in the decline as a nation as a result of that. Perhaps you recall a number of years ago, it hit the high profile just a few years ago because it was in 2015 that the original suit started, but it was the Christian clerk of court that was jailed over the same-sex marriage, and she's now seeking a full court review. This article is dated July the 15th. Kim Davis, many of you recall that name. Kim Davis, who was a county clerk in Kentucky when the Supreme Court created same-sex marriage and went to jail because the state refused her an accommodation for her biblical beliefs about marriage. She's still fighting two civil lawsuits that erupted back at that time. Same-sex duo, that's the people that filed suit against her, claimed that she was personally liable for damages, even though they got their marriage license anyway. And a leftist judge at the district court level, who also ordered her to jail for her beliefs, agreed. But now, officials with Liberty Counsel have requested that the full Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals hear her case. Further in the article, it says, because Davis was entitled to an accommodation for her sincerely held religious beliefs about marriage under both the First Amendment and the Kentucky law, she should not be held liable to the plaintiffs for exercising her right not to violate her conscience while marriage licenses were readily available to the plaintiffs through Kentucky, according to Liberty Counsel's attorney. Quote, in this case, it says, the three cases that have come down from the Supreme Court since the organization cited included Masterpiece Cake Shop, where the justices said official expressions of hostility toward religion and violate the free exercise of speech. Further, the article states, Davis recused herself from issuing any license, although they remain generally available in the state of Kentucky. But the same-sex duo demanded that they get their licenses from Davis alone. Ladies and gentlemen, that course is still spinning in the wind in the courts, just as a florist in Washington State, just as the Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado. They've all been heard by the Supreme Court, remanded back to the appeals courts, and still languishing in the courts because, as this writer says, it is because of the expression of hostility toward religion. Ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that hostility toward religion, Christians are being persecuted and prosecuted for their beliefs. Ladies and gentlemen, today, if a parent stands before a school board and challenges the school board for teaching the sodomite agenda in the classroom or teaching the LGBTQ agenda in the classroom, ladies and gentlemen, according to Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice in a 32-page document sent to the FBI, the FBI now will be alerted if that takes place, and then that church, that family, that individual, that mother, that father that challenged the school board can be persecuted and prosecuted and deemed as a domestic terrorist. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Perhaps you'd like to put in your 2 cents worth, as it is called so often. Perhaps you'd like to respond. Do you see a deterioration of morals and ethics and values in our nation? Do you see a deterioration in the direction that we're going in morally and ethically? Do you believe that our compass has absolutely been thwarted in the direction we're going? Is it the right direction, or should there be a corrective taking place in our nation today? Ladies and gentlemen, that complaint that Christians are trying to legislate morality, that's a farce, that's a joke. It is a way to intimidate the Christian into silence. And we must understand first and foremost, ladies and gentlemen, according to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, that what we're dealing with is a demonic delusion, a demonic battle. The scripture says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. So what we see taking place with Nancy Pelosi, AOC, Chuck Schumer, with all of the Biden family cabal, they're being motivated, mandated by a demonic spirit that's destroying our nation. It's destroying the morals and ethics and the values in our great nation today, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, in our schools, teaching our children the sodomite agenda, teaching sexual dysphoria has become now something that's to be embraced and celebrated in the kindergarten through high school. Drag queen hours are being celebrated in the school system. In fact, we have seen the moral and ethics and values so denigrated in America. Even the big stores, the big chain stores, the box stores, as well as the restaurants, ladies and gentlemen, are in some way getting in on the act to further demoralize and to destroy the morals and ethics and the values. You have the restaurant chains. You have Pizza Hut that's publishing and promoting books that's encouraging young kids to get involved in the sodomite lifestyle. You have major organizations and industries today that's pushing it. Disney World is now saying that they're going to pay for the abortion for any of their employees. They're not doing that on an equal level. They're not doing anything for the conservatives, for the Christians in their employment. They're doing that only for one portion of their employee group. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, based on some articles that I've read, they'll wind up being a class action suit on that basis. You can't, with a large employee base, you can't do one thing for one group and not for the other. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that is frightening to me. Don't know about you. It says the CDC, that's Centers for Disease Control, directs LGBTQ children to a secretive chat room about sex changes, about activism, and the occult. This is Dateline July the 14th. The Centers for Disease Control is now promoting a youth an online chat space that discusses sex and other relationships, the occult, sex change operations, and activism, and is specifically designed to be quickly hidden while being used. It also mixes LGBTQ adults and children and is run in parity. It run partly by the Planned Parenthood. This is a massive article. We'll pick up in just a moment after the top of the hour news with this on our broadcast today. We're covering this. We'll talk about what is happening that's demoralizing our children, ruining our families, and it is one of the major problems today, isn't it? We the people, we as Christians, we as conservatives have been silent too long. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back after the top of the hour news as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.